Good afternoon. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest in the dance scene. So good to be back with you today. I want to start off by giving a shout out to VCR2 and Jamie Hodgins for inviting Turnout Radio to their recent teen concert takeover, which took place on July 17. The event was a family-friendly, interactive show packed with top hits, and oh, did we have some fun. If you're curious to learn more about the event, you can check it out at livecity.tv. Well, folks, we have a good one for you today. Carmen Romero is in the house. I'm looking so forward to sitting down with her. But first, stay tuned. We're going to take a break and be right back with your dance news right after this.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
In dance news, Capsule, a new video dance series, is a community responsive platform hosted by the National Arts Center Dance Department in close collaboration with the Festival of Recorded Movement and Dumb Instrumental Dance. In reply to an open call, 139 artists submitted films created between March 2020 and March 2021, a capsule of time that inspired passionate and innovative short film creations from dance artists across Canada. You can find out more at the National Arts Center at nac-cna.ca. And in other news, the Dance Collection Dance Hall of Fame event is set for Sunday, September 19th, 2021 from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. The event takes place at the Toronto Botanical Gardens at 777 Lawrence Avenue East in Toronto. The DCD Hall of Fame honors and celebrates dynamic, lifelong contributions to dance in Canada by some remarkable individuals. You can find more information at dcdhalloffame.com. Also in the news, get your tap shoes on. The LA Tap Fest is on now, occurring from July 26th straight through to August 2nd, 2021. The LA Tap Fest is a seven-day intensive offering world-renowned faculty teaching tap masterclasses for dancers ages 7 and up. You can learn more at thelatapfest.com. And be sure to check out more dance news and interviews at turnoutradio.com. Stay locked in, folks. The wonderful Carmen Romero is up next.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Welcome back to Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. Well, my guest today, Carmen Romero, is a leading and award-winning established flamenco dance artist whose experience in performance, education, production, and adjudication affirms her position in the national and international dance scene. She belongs to the history of flamenco few can attest to, says Dance International, and she coached Latin pop star Shakira for her song Gypsy as part of her 2010 tour Sale El Sol. In 2000, Carmen represented Canada at the 9th annual Certamen de Coreografía de Danza Española y Flamenco in Madrid and at the International Castanet Festival in Girona, Spain in 2014. Wow. Carmen Romero breaks down barriers and explores the paths less traveled, creating dance that is passionate and relevant. I'm so honored to welcome back to Turnout Radio, Carmen Romero. Carmen, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Nicole.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Carmen, you just light up the room whenever you come to Turnout Radio. I'm so, so pleased to welcome you back. And, you know, much has happened since you and I last had an opportunity to sit down and chat here on the show. But first, I'd like to know, and if you can fill in our listeners, where are you right now? Give us the 411. Let us know where you are positioned right now.
Physically, where I'm positioned, I'm right now in Gatineau, Quebec, at a cottage, actually. A well-deserved little break after this crazy year and a half of survival. Well, survival, it's, you know, within context, of course. But so I'm at a cottage in Val de Bois, and it's about a 5-hour drive from Toronto. And I'm here with some friends, my daughter, and I'm overlooking a lake, as I showed you earlier. So it's good. It's time to, I find it hard to disconnect when I'm in the city, even if I'm, you know, saying I'm going to take a few days off or something, I still don't disconnect. And actually, I'm still not totally disconnecting because, you know, work still needs to carry on. But this is definitely a good time to see something different. My mom would always say, you know, you need to change your wallpaper once in a while. And this is different wallpaper for sure. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And well-deserved break for sure, Carmen, for sure. I'm curious to know, why do you find it hard to disconnect?
Well, I think as an artist, it's not a job. It's not a job you do. It's a lifestyle. And so you're always on, I believe. And, it's funny when you, I just have a new accountant, and I'm not his first arts client, but I think I'm like his second one. But, he doesn't know my business very well and things like that. And so I have many different streams of expenses and revenues. And so he's just as a little, you know, he'll say, okay, this has to do with costuming. But he says, Carmen, $70 for eyelashes? And I said, uh-huh. And he says, why? Like, why 70? Like, does it cost? I said, you don't get it. Like, now that we're doing film, right, it's everything is much more clear. It's different than stage. Stage, you can plop on, stick on eyelashes, and that's fine. Nobody's going to see the fine detail in that, you know, the clumpy glue sometimes. Sometimes the eyelash is going sideways. But in film, it's different, right? Film, right. You can see everything. And if they do, like, you know, of course, everything's high definition now. And if they do an extreme close up on your face, you can see these nasty eyelashes. So I get, if I'm doing a lot of work, then I get permanent eyelashes done. So they stick individual real hair lashes on each individual lash, and it looks much more natural. And it still makes the eyes pop and stuff like that. And so I explained that to him. He says, really? So then about a week later, I did a little film piece, and I sent him the film, and I said, wait to the end, look at the last frame in the end. He says, okay. So the last frame, the director went, zoomed right in on my eyes, and you can see these beautiful eyelashes. That cost me $70. So all that to say is that, you know, your costuming, like even here, like I'm in the cottage, and I went into like this is like, you know, the one and only Depeneur, and they had these really cool earrings. Like they're very interesting. So I bought them, you know, as a costume piece, well, right? Yeah. Yeah. So it's a lifestyle is what I'm saying, in that, you know, when you go away, like you never stop. So you need to find time. You need to really carve it out to replenish.
Well, I find it interesting, you know, when you say lifestyle, I was, you know, sharing with a colleague, or pardon me, a friend of my friend and colleague, about why it's challenging for me, or it has been at times challenging for me to disconnect, because it has been very much a part of my lifestyle. The word dance, the art form, the beauty, the culture, all things dance has been a part of my life, my entire life. So, you know, disconnecting when something is so much a part of your journey, your path, your lifestyle, can sometimes seem a little strange, you know, to just separate from it and part from it.
Absolutely. Somebody asked me a little while ago if I ever take breaks from dance, and he said, "I don't think so."
Yeah.
And I just said, "I don't think so. I think I've always dance is everything. It's part of everything I do. It just is. I don't, you know, whether like the body needs a rest, the mind needs a rest. It's not like you're dancing every day, but you're, you know, somehow you're involved in it. So I'm like, you know, I look at the water here and I was just thinking of, wow, that's so cool. Like, to have a lighting effect where you have this sense of water rippling down the stage. So I was thinking about that as I'm looking at the lake. You know, I'm a fire sign. I'm an Aries, but I'm attracted to water. And so I need to be near water often. I find it's very calming and balancing for me.
And so your mind is
peace. Oh, yeah. Well, like I'm looking at this and I'm like, how do I do peace in the Bata Kola, which is a long train dress in water? And I'm thinking already of like the costume, how it would have to be designed so I don't get dragged under the water. Yeah.
Wow. So even in the space of rest, a lot of times you are thinking about the creative process.
I'm always on.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much always on. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So how do you rest, Carmen? And I love asking artists this question. How do you find, or pardon me, what do you do during times of rest? What does Carmen do for your own self-care?
So I think at one point in my life, I went through a really difficult patch and I realized that I needed to find a way to have a mobile system of rest and repair. And what I mean by mobile system is that, like, if you don't have anyone or anything around you to support you, you need to figure out how to do that for yourself. So when I'm in places like this, or like at times when I feel off center, I do journaling. I journal, and I sort of cognitively force myself into a space of reflection. So it's like, okay, I need this time. And I go anywhere, but I do remove myself from external stimuli. Like, you know, I put my notifications off on my phone because I run my business on my phone. So like it's always on, but I go away somewhere and I just spend time with myself and I start to question myself. I give myself questions to think about, you know. Or sometimes it's like, I'm not a very good meditator, but I understand the principles of meditation. And so, I let the thoughts go by and I observe them, you know, and, pick and choose what I want to deal with that day. And yeah, it's so important. It really is important. Like, you know, especially being a mom to a teenager who is, you know, going through a different phase of life, and so am I as a parent, watching another human being go through this. And I try to do my very best to make sure that she knows how to take care of herself, and that she, you know, their kids are learning about social interaction, and with this whole pandemic that's been like so difficult for them, and you know, where they fit in the world. Like, you know, my daughter's already getting ready for post-secondary education, she has to start making decisions. And so it's that transition from being a kid to being an adult, and watching, observing that, but also instilling in her the understanding that she needs to be able to take care of herself mentally. And
I had the wonderful pleasure of meeting your daughter at a Canadian stage event last year. And so when I hear you talk about your daughter and the special relationship that you both have, it's so wonderful to see how included she is in your journey, in your dance journey.
Again, like she's my daughter is part of my dance, right? Dance is part of my lifestyle. My daughter's my lifestyle. And she thinks it's pretty cool. I said, can you imagine if I was an accountant? She goes, no, mom. I'd be taking
I
you to
can't
the
either.
office. I said, yeah, me neither. But I'd say I'd be taking you to the office. And when she was little, I became a single mom. And anyways, I was living with my mom. My mom was working at the time. My mom worked in a printing press, which are a thing of the past now, pretty much. And so my mom was a bookbinder, and there she would bring my daughter with her to the. She's probably not the best place, but I was teaching classes, and so my mom would take her to work. And I remember coming afterwards and picking up my daughter, and my daughter was sitting. She's little, like she was like two, and she's sitting on this big workbench, and my mom's collating stacks of paper, and she's sitting there with the pen and paper and doodling and that. And that's kind of cute. Like I could have had that kind of job, and she would have been in a printing press. But yeah, so my daughter's very much is my life, and she's part of my lifestyle in terms of the flamenco and the dance, the production scene. And I have my other friend who's here, she's a writer. So it's kind of interesting because her daughter, we went skating one day, and her daughter was, I think, in kindergarten. And it said, Canada Skate, a big sign that Canada Skate. And she
Right.
turned, looked at the sign, and said, Canada Skate. And both Christina and myself looked at each other, and I said, I think your daughter just read that. And she goes, I think she just read that. I said, yeah, your daughter just read that. And it was beyond her years. But increased, Christina's a writer, so there's books all over the place. There's post-it notes all over the place.
Beautiful.
Don't forget to water this. And so that's what Lexi sees, and Raquel sees, music, me interacting with musicians, me, working on movement. I love fabric, so we go to fabric places and I play around with fabric. And so that's what my daughter sees. And so she's starting to carve out her own path now.
I love it. Artistically moving and grooving and growing together. I love that. I love it. Well, folks, if you are just tuning in, I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, sitting down with the absolutely fabulous Carmen Romero here on Turnout Radio. And Carmen, I know that we have coming up, we're going to be talking about the training workshop for Canadian male professional dancers to train in flamenco. But before we do that, over the course of this past year, I'm so curious to know because you did mention that, you work on your phone, as many of us do. We work from our phone. How have you been embracing and shifting and navigating through doing a lot of work online now? Because people are so used to being in the same space with you. So ha has that been something that was easy to embrace, or what has your online experience been this past year?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been too bad shifting. And again, it's not because I'm a technological whiz, because I'm not, but it's because I think my personality is quite. There's two parts of my personality that are very important, I guess, in the way I function. One is that I'm very sort of flexible in thought. If it doesn't work, I don't stick to it. I just move on. I just go. And the other part too is that what is the option? What is the option? Like, I'm not one to give up,
Right.
So I'm not one to give up, and I won't wait for someone to do it. It's not that I won't wait for somebody to do it, but in the arts, unless you're like an A-list person who's got like a massive production company behind you, or not even a massive production company, but even on like people who are on annual funding and have like a regular infrastructure, you still got to do stuff. You
Right.
still got to get stuff done. And if you're going to wait for somebody to do it, you're going to miss the ball. And timing is everything in this business. As a dancer and survival in this business is timing. You sit and wait for it, it's not going to happen. So, I'm not a technical, logical whiz at all, but I'm very endeavoring. I want to. I don't do well sitting idle. So it wasn't that difficult. But there have been difficult times, and not being with people. Trying to teach. Through Zoom. Sometimes I wanted to just toss my computer at the window. I'd be
Yeah.
like suffering, be like 20 minutes to the end of class. I'm like, God, I'm gonna get through this, because it's like people, you're cutting up. I can't hear you. What are you doing? And it's like, and then you watch and you go, this is not the way it's supposed to go.
Absolutely. Yeah,
So,
there's so much we've had to teach ourselves, through this, navigating the Zoom platform and other platforms, in order to teach classes. And you're right, sometimes people can hear us, sometimes they can't hear us. I'm really grateful for different organizations, platforms that have been supporting us through it, from arts councils to the AFC, to many other organizations that have been saying, okay, here's some supportive ideas, suggestions that we can give you in order to help you not only navigate through it, but to show you some of the best practices in order to do so.
I mean, that is the other thing too that has been absolutely helpful is yes, that I mean, one thing is just this term has been so used, it's terrible to use it again, but we're all in this together, right? So it's nice to see that there is that support out there. And yes, I've reached out and I've received support. And we're so lucky to live in Canada. I mean, no country's perfect, but come on, like the kind of funding that has been poured into the programs, the way that all the arts councils have been pivoting. They had to, dismantle, not dismantle, but put some programs on hold, but then put money elsewhere. Before there are limitations on how many grants you could apply for. Now, there's some special programs that you can apply for on top. Like, okay, so you may not get it, but that's fine. But there's work out there, and you just keep trying another program. Yes, there's been a lot of support that way, and that's been really, really helpful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just want to give a shout out to a few organizations that have even come on recently onto Turnout Radio, have been within this past year sharing how they are also supporting dance artists, the dance community during this time, from Dance Umbrella of Ontario to Dancer Transition Resource Center, Dance Immersion. There are so many who have been really doing the work. Incredible, incredible work. Sapamo. There are so many to mention. Wonderful work in guiding us and supporting us through this time.
Yes,
And
for sure.
for you, speaking of supporting us through this time, we have some things to talk about. We do, because when I had learned that you have an intensive training workshop, that's coming up, I was very excited to learn more about that. And so we have to give our audience now the 411. So, folks, please stay with us. Stay locked in right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. Carmen and I are going to come right back and talk about the workshop and so much more right after this.
Chain, wind around my neck, I'm taking my freedom.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. That was Golden by Jill Scott. I'm back with Carmen Romero. And Carmen, before the break, we began speaking about the online journey. And you've had some stuff that's going on and that you have been preparing for as well with regards to your classes. So let us know, fill us in on what's happening with your classes and what you've got coming up.
Certainly, thank you. So I mean, the pandemic has, been a good opportunity to re-envision myself and my work. And so my administrator, who's Bonnie Messina, who's been amazing throughout this whole process, she has a background in IT and she retired, and now she's actually working with me, and she does a lot of my admin, but she does a lot of the IT stuff for my website. So we completely rebuilt the website. So check it out, carmenromero.ca or www.carmenromero.ca. And some great new pictures from Denise Grant as well. I mean, a little plug for Denise, she's an amazing photographer. So we rebuilt the school. We rebuilt the website, the school. We put a beautiful landing acknowledgement, which is something that I've been thinking about for a while. And we had that up. So we built that in, which is quite nice. And we also built a shop and a school. So it's an online school. So it's called Flamenco Online. And what it has is has classes for singing and flamenco. So if there's anybody out there who's curious about singing but would never enter a physical class for whatever reason, this is a good opportunity. They're like short little videos, and they're videos that were created by Canadian flamenco singers, so they understand what it's like being Canadian and trying to learn flamenco singing, which is not easy. It's out of the three elements in flamenco, the guitar, the dance, and the singing is probably the most difficult to study for many reasons, the language reasons, huge cultural reason, understanding the culture of the songs. And so anyways, these are like short little videos. They're exercises on how to create that vocal sound, which is very unique to flamenco. And then there's also different songs in that they could learn. So the short little videos, so there's flamenco singing, learning how to play castanets. There's beginning tutorials, and then tutorials also for people with more experience. There's also beginner classes, and they're all just short videos. They're meant to be short so that you don't become overwhelmed. Too much information.
Right.
And so the process has been quite good because it really sort of gave me insight into what my better insight into what my dance pedagogy is, you know, because I think all dancers, we all have different journeys in our training, right?
Absolutely.
And when we dance, each dancer is unique because of that journey, right? And so I've discovered that putting school up, that that this is what is different, like, you know. And so there's going to be more lesson plans that are going up, so that we'll have classical Spanish dance. There'll also be percussion classes going up. So it's an online school that we created, and it is available on a membership basis. So it's like $30 a month, and you have access to all the videos, singing, dancing, whichever you like. And there's also workshops that people could take and how to use the fan. So if you'd like to, you know, you don't have to be, you know, a Spanish dancer or flamenco dancer to feel like you need to participate in this. You know, if you're just curious how to use the fan, like if you're, a contemporary dancer, ballet dancer, you know, and you want to know how to play castanets, for example, Or for example, somebody who's looking for some really good fine motor activity, castanets are an excellent, class to do for that. And we also have an online soap store. So, if you needed castanets, you could purchase castanets for $60, something
This is
like that.
fantastic. So individuals can find out more at on your website at carmenromero.ca. Okay. All right. And I love, Carmen, that you and I've had a chance in previous conversation to discuss the guitar music as it relates to flamenco. So what is so beautiful is that your platform of learning incorporates discussions surrounding practice, culture, and more.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I know that individuals have also been waiting for it. So let's now talk about the intensive training workshop that that you have coming up for Canadian male professional dancers to train in flamenco. What can you start by just sharing? What was the birthplace for the intensive workshop?
So, I've been dancing since 1976, a long time in Toronto. And in my entire time, there have been maybe a handful of dancers that are male dancers that dance at a pretty high level. Maybe a handful in Toronto, anyways. And so we just got used to that, and the only time I really had experience dancing with male dancers partnering, and flamenco is not a partnering dance, so it's not about that. And so as a professional dancer now, in Canada, Canada is a small country in terms of population. There's not many of us. And I've chatted with my colleagues in Canada from east to west, and I asked, I said, I want to make sure before I go on air that I have this correct. Do you know of anyone in the East Coast or in the prairies that is a male dancer who is at your level that you could say, okay, we're gonna set up a CDS, we're gonna start with a martinete, and I'd like to start with a baston, and I'd like to switch it over, and then this is extreme. This is an extreme case, but a fully trained dancer would be able to do this word. And these are words that don't make much sense to you because it's all flamenco language, but let's say something like, okay, let's start with a martinete. We'll do two letras. What do you think? Should we do two letras and then we'll do the temple? Another temple, what we could do is we could start with the baston. Right? We'll start the baston and we'll start with a really nice slow compás por cinco. And so that is language of a professional flamenco dancer, a Spanish dancer, right? I said, is there anyone that you know of that I don't know about that is a male dancer who can do that? Like, can do it. And so all of my colleagues have said no. There are some male dancers in Canada who are quite good. But also in Spanish dance, and it makes sense because, we live in a vacuum here. We create our flamenco environment. I have music playing in the car. My daughter gets in the car after school and she starts singing a letra, which means a verse. Por farruca. Ay, it's like my teenage kid getting in this. But that's because it's our bubble. Like that's the way we live. We create this vacuum. So,
Right.
it's not the same as when you live in Spain and you're training in a conservatory or you're training in like somebody's, there's a place called Morelos in Madrid, where you're training in Jerez or in Sevilla. We have like a plethora of training facilities, studios, it's just us. So it's quite secluded. In my opinion, the training is very spotty. There's big holes in people's trainings. You have some dancers who've got killer feet but can't turn if their life depended on it. Or you have some dancers that are great spinners but have no sense of timing, right? Or you there's a few out there that have a really they do they really do have a great level, like a really good level where you could say, okay, let's do that. Let's like we're gonna play castanets and time that are nicely complex. They're syncopated and they're in time. It's really hard to play castanets and dance. It really is. Like, you're basically a minstrel, a musical minstrel, doing spins with and fine motor dexterity on your hands. It's difficult. It requires training, you know? But it's not impossible. It requires training. So there is no training ground in Canada, to my knowledge, and I am more than happy to be corrected on that, because if there is, I want to know about it. You know, I am very interested in it. But there are no training ground, especially for men. Women have gone out, and because there's lots of role models, there are no role models in Toronto or in Canada. The few guys that do dance quite nicely, but they're not fully trained. The majority of the dancers that we have in flamenco or in Spanish dance, and I'll clarify why I keep saying flamenco and Spanish dance in a second. It's all female based. All the stories are all female based. Like, think about that. Think about the creation of that. It's all one-sided. If we bring in a male, we bring in one guy or two guys because that's really what we have the money for. When we bring them in, they get injected quickly into the choreography or into the production. There's no time to explore anything.
So this workshop gives that opportunity then for exploration to take place, because I understand that it's 5 days and in person.
Yes, that's correct. It's really a workshop where we start to begin to create some kind of training for male dancers to come into Spanish dance and flamenco. So they're not going to learn everything in 5 days,
Right.
but they're going to learn. We're going to start this training, this dialogue of training. And what I am endeavoring to do is to fully develop something that is ongoing, not just for male dancers, but for female dancers, so that we can bring in trained dancers into the genre and basically train them the aesthetic. Also, when you're training in a, you know, in a, an aesthetic like flamenco or genre like flamenco, or let's say African or Indian, whatever it is, you can't just learn the steps. You need to learn the culture, because you do it no justice. And that to me is huge. I don't want to create a monster where I have somebody who just does a bunch of steps but doesn't really understand where it's coming from, because I believe
Right.
when you do any kind of dance or music, especially that has a, you know, cultural implications or content, you need to understand where that comes from, because you're talking about people, you're talking about generations, you're talking about, you know, geography, politics, and that's all. You need to understand that. You can't just do the steps for poops and giggles, I
Absolutely.
say. So
Absolutely.
that is certainly the intensive training program. So they'll learn how to do the footwork, they'll learn the movement with the arms, they'll learn about rhythm, they will learn about the music, they'll learn about the aspect of singing, flamenco singing. So just quickly, so Spanish dance is the umbrella name for all the different kinds of dance styles that there are within that. Flamenco is just one of that. Another dance style is Escuela Bolera, which is 18th century dance that is done in soft slippers or ballet slippers, right? So they will get a workshop into the men will get a workshop, a 2-hour workshop into that from my colleague Maritil Centurion, who lives in actually the prairies in Winnipeg, but she's from Argentina. She is a trained ballet dancer and teaches for the Royal Winnipeg Ballet. However, she also did a lot of training in Spanish dance, flamenco, and she's one of the people. There's a few people in Canada that do Escuela Bolera, but very few. She's one of them, and she's a really great teacher. So she'll be doing a workshop on that. So the dancers will get an idea of what that is, so that they just, sorry.
This is so exciting. It is. I've just got to say, it's exciting because this workshop, 5 days of training, an opportunity to learn history, culture, movement. How does one get involved? You are going to be holding auditions to find dancers.
Yes, so we're holding auditions because we do want to look for certain people that have different qualities. So we're holding an audition on August 2nd in Toronto at my Davisville studio. And people just need to go to my website, carmenromero.ca. At the school, you'll see intensive training for men. And there's an application, and we just ask, it's a short application. We just ask for a bio, a headshot, a resume, and then also just a little blurb on like why you like to participate in this. And like I said, I'll be teaching the fundamental part. Justin Brown will be teaching about the music. Stephanie Pedraza will be piping in from Vancouver to talking about the singing and how that's. So those are just little mini workshops, but the majority of it is me teaching the fundamental movement. At the very end, Emilio Etzando, who's an amazing flamenco dancer from Spain, this will be done by Zoom. He will be teaching the sort of like a routine from everything that I would have previously trained the men to do. So at the end of it, Emilio will come in and put something together. And this is what we'll showcase on the 27th at the Winchester Street Theater. So it's already set up. I'm so excited. Oh my God, a live performance. And it's really just a simple, very simple, like this is what we did. These are some of the exercises that we did. And this is what we came up with at the end of it, and a Q&A at the end for anyone who's interested in that. So I really hope, the other thing I wanted to say, this is what we're talking about. So it's paid training. And the dancers will be paid to train. So this is why the other reason why I'm holding audition. I really want people who are interested in the form, who are willing to go to really invest themselves into it. So it's paid training. The dancers are required to make, as the OAC guidelines, because this training program has been funded by the Toronto Arts Council and the Ontario Arts Council, which I'm thrilled about. But as per OAC, dancers are required to make some kind of investment, and dancers do need to buy the shoes and the castanets. However, if the dancers are a little tight for cash or whatever, we could certainly just take that off the paid training, you don't have to necessarily put any cash out. So I highly recommend that dancers go to the website, check it out. All the information about the payment, the money is there. If there's any questions, please send me an email. I'm more than happy to, or call me. I'm more than happy to discuss it. But I'm really looking forward to starting this initiative and growing it. In the United States, there are universities that have graduate programs in Spanish dance. I think it's time that Canada has its own Spanish dance program. It's also a great opportunity for dancers to augment their training, their dance abilities, and their employment opportunities. That's, also something you should consider. And I think the aesthetic... In Canada, Spanish dance will change. It'll be very interesting, very exciting.
Interesting, exciting. And I've got to tell you, it has been so wonderful to hear that you have been putting the initiative together, and so wonderful to sit down with you today, Carmen. What a joy. Thank you so much for sharing on the initiative, the workshop, and for exploring with us today. I really want to take this opportunity, of course, to remind our listeners, carmenromero.ca is where you can find all the info. Carmen, you are joy.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nicole. I really appreciate this opportunity to chat. I'm so grateful for programs like yourselves where dancers have an opportunity to talk and share, and community is so important, and I'm really grateful for that. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thank you for those words. Thank you, Carmen. Until next time, hey, maybe we'll do the show next time at your cottage.
It's not my cottage, I'm renting it, but maybe if I work a little harder, I might be able to buy something, I don't know, somewhere in a tree far, far away, like further than 5 hours away.
Yes, I'll just show up with my microphone.
Okay.
How's that?
No problem. No problem.
Carmen, thank you again for joining me on the show. Such a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. And that was the wonderful Carmen Romero here on Turnout Radio. Such a pleasure to sit down with her. Thank you to all of you for tuning in today. You can find out more about Carmen's work and what she has coming up at carmenromero.ca. That's it for this week's broadcast of the show. Be sure to visit us at turnoutradio.com for your latest dance news. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us again next week at 2 p.m. EST right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.
Hi, I'm Emma Leslie Francis.
And I'm Nathaniel Chua, and we're the Turnout Radio Youth Correspondents.
Keep listening to Turnout Radio for announcements of Youth Takeover Days as we open up about the youth experience in dance. Tune in each week to stay updated.
It's all right here on Turnout Radio, airing Wednesdays at 2 p.m. EST on CIUT 89.5 FM.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together, dance cheek to cheek. Yes, heaven, I'm in heaven. Kids that hung around me through the week seems to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. when we out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I'd love to climb to mountain, reach the highest peak, but it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I'd love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Now mama, dance with me. I want my arms about you, the charms about you will carry me through. Yes, heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek. When we out together, dance cheek to cheek. Take it, Ella, swing it.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Heaven, I'm in heaven, the cares that hung around me through the week seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I'd love to climb a mountain and to reach the highest peak, but it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Come on and dance with me. To heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.